Welcome back, everyone. If you think I sound out of breath, it's because I am. I haven't got COVID. I have just been playing football. COVID's a thing again now. I don't know if you knew that. It's coming back, but I'm not going to drag the mood down. We are
How do
back.
you make it sound like some sort of styles thing is it's coming back?
What is this? It's like fashion, isn't it? That's true. But yeah, race course is back. Racing has obviously been here. We've got Monza to discuss. Then we do have a week off, not from race course, but like from racing. And then we are heading to Singapore, where I'm pretty sure there is a circumstance in which Red Bull can wrap up this Constructors' Championship. Not entirely sure if Max can win the drivers just yet, but we will talk all things Formula One. But while you're here, make sure you give us 5 stars if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other audio platform, which you will be, because that's the only place you can hear us. Do give us 5 stars. It really does make a big difference. To the podcast, and we really do appreciate it. If you want to get involved even more, make sure you follow us on all social media. Just search Racecast and you'll find us. If you can't, we probably don't want you around anyway. We're going to crack on now.
All right, guys. Luke. So we meant to film earlier, and he was like, "Oh, it's going to be a bit later." So I thought I'd just quickly pop by and watch him play football. Little did I know, as soon as I got there, it sounds like somebody's literally just fallen over.
Yeah, it does.
And you were like, "No, I can't play, can't play." And what is your reason for not playing?
I've got new boots, and like my feet are blistered.
So.
So this has been recurring. I mean, obviously, I could put a picture up if we were on video to show you. Did I ever show you my first blister that I got from those boots?
No.
Holy shit. I was red raw. So bear in mind, right? I've played 2 30-minute games of six a side already tonight. And then I was going in for my third.
Which was actually with your team.
But well, the whole thing was with my team, but they were just friendlies. Then we had our actual league game. I would have been more of a hindrance to them, so it literally wasn't even worth
So nothing
me.
new then.
Like, I couldn't turn, so like, what was the point of me staying on that pitch? They knew it, I knew it. Get gone. Look, this was the first blister I had from those boots
Oh, that's good.
on the side. So that's the one. You see, I've got the scar there now, but it comes back. So anyone knows when you've got blisters, you just can't move. And like, it was pretty fundamental. I had to be able to move. So I just said, "You know what, boys? I'm gonna dip." They had enough men. We had some spares, and I'm praying for them right now.
So Luke, we've gone back to Luke's, and he's got two blisters. No, one blister.
Nah, I've got one blister on the bottom of my foot. I've got two on my toes there. You
Scrape on
see?
your leg.
I've also got a blister there. So I've got four blisters in total across 2 feet. That is nasty, that isn't it? This thing on my leg is
Across
nasty.
2 feet. How many feet do you have?
Well, no, but like, it's not four blisters on one foot.
Yeah.
That on my knee
On your
right now, that
knee.
is nasty.
Yeah. And you've got a broken rib, you think?
No, I think it's bruised.
Yeah.
Because basically, I got clattered and went down, landed on the ball. Typical. You know how like, whenever anything happens, it always happens in the worst way. Like, I had it last week. Obviously, I'm still recovering from my wrist, and I got clattered. And like, you know when time sort of slows down in
Yeah.
midair, I'm like trying to roll about, so I land on my left side, which is my good hand. No matter what I did, like, gravity was just pulling me down on my right hand. Fell on my wrist, just agony. I was just like, I played football again a couple of weeks ago when my wrist was really quite bad. I was actually in a cast then,
Yeah.
but it was just like me and a mate just kicking a ball about. We're doing penalties against each other, right? So I have my hand behind my back just to protect it, not really diving.
You are crap at penalties.
He kicked the ball. I watch it hit the post. As I turn, it bounces off the post. As I've turned, my wrist has come out and it smacks the bottom, like the only exposed part of my hand,
Yeah.
so it bends my wrist. What are the chances?
That's
Bad.
probably your best ever save.
I didn't even save it, the post did. But yeah, so football, agony, but we're not here for football. We are here for Formula One.
F1. Yeah. So before we get started talking about Monza, there you go. Got it right this time. Let's talk about what came out on, was it Thursday? Obviously, we know Lewis Hamilton and George Russell have signed a new 2-year contract, partnership to 2025. For me, I feel like they've dragged this on way too long. You know, this is something which we knew was going to happen, but I'm very happy. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton in the sport for another 2 years.
And I think, you know, that was it. I think everyone at Mercedes has made it pretty clear that they believe Lewis and George are the best pairing on the grid. And I think, to be fair, I think that is generally, like, I don't know, like, correct me if I'm wrong, that is pretty widely recognised as the truth, I think.
Yeah, I don't think there's, I mean, obviously, when you look at Red Bull, when you look at a team and you look at collaborative working and supportive of a team, Red Bull, yes, they're dominant, but it is very one person centred.
I also think quality of driving, like if you put Max and Checo together, are Lewis and George better? Yeah. But like, that, you know, that's not, Max is obviously at the moment the best driver on the grid, but he hasn't got any competition, which is another topic we're going to get into. But, you know, maybe if you had Max and Charles in a team, now I'm thinking, okay, that might be the best partnership.
Yeah, I think if they had...
It's the Checo thing that pulls Red Bull down. You've got to put it as like an average score. And like, on average, the Merc team is better.
Yeah.
I think the same applies to the Ferrari team. Like,
I think I do like the partnership in Charles and Carlos.
Oh, I think that's second best.
Yeah, I think with regards to actual teamwork... And not being favoured as one, you know, one driver which is favoured, which is very heavily in Red Bull. I think, yes, I agree with you. Ferrari are the second best on the grid.
I still think Leclerc does get favoured, though, in that team.
I don't know. I mean...
I think less so
now.
Under Vasseur.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Under Binotto, it was very favourable in Leclerc. Yeah. But I think under Vasseur, it is very much... It's equal. They both get the opportunity... And you're starting to see some... I mean, this weekend, we'll get onto it later, but...
Oh, my God. That was low-key the best part of the season.
That race, I think, was probably the best race of the season for me.
Yeah, you know what? It actually probably was. I agree.
You know, take away... And I posted, didn't I? Those first, you know, 15 laps, great, you know, best of the season. You know, see you later, Max.
Yeah, but even... Yeah, I know, but
even after that,
even after good. That, it got good.
Yeah.
The Ferrari
battle and the Checo battle was just.
And then even the Lewis battle, and you know, I think it's up there with Australia. Australia was a great race with a terrible
ending. Australia was good. Yeah, it's definitely up there. But no, let's just quickly touch on the other news, which Lewis Hamilton came out and said last week after his contract extension. That
chair is creaky, isn't it?
It is creaky. Yeah. That he thinks Max Verstappen hasn't had a proper teammate competitor, unlike he did under his time in Mercedes and McLaren. So basically insinuating that actually he's had tougher opponents as teammates, which actually you can't deny.
Yeah, I mean, you literally cannot deny that.
Fernando Alonso. Nico Rosberg,
Jenson Button,
all world champions, three world champions he's faced against.
I'm not sure if Bottas is. I know Lewis said Bottas. I'm not sure if Bottas is any better than Checo.
No, I don't agree with the Bottas side
because Bottas did win races, but Checo has also won races, and
it was very favoured to Lewis.
Yeah, and also Lewis was just quicker. Yeah. You know, in the Bottas era, the only competitor really that Lewis had were from other teams, and that was Seb and Max.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but Lewis has had, obviously, I mean, he came into the sport against a two-time world champion.
Yeah.
Like, that was his first teammate. And he, did he beat him or did they draw on points? It was... I think he finished ahead of him because he won more races.
Yeah, let me just double check. I'm pretty sure he beat him in his first year.
And then obviously drove him out the team. He ran back to Renault. So he then obviously had Jenson Button as a teammate, which, you know, Jenson Button actually beat him in the Constructors one season. Constructors? The Drivers' Championship season. But then you look to Max, and Max has had... Danny Rick, who's been his best teammate, let's be honest.
Yep. They did have the same points.
But Lewis was second.
Second on more wins.
Yeah. So Danny Rick is Max's best ever teammate, competitor, whatever, however you want to look at it. And he's only got 7 race wins.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And this is not Max's fault, by the way. You know, I don't think Lewis was saying that to be like, you know, it's not Max's problem that he's not had hard teammates. And I'm sure Lewis probably thinks, yeah, we'll put 9 out of 10 people in that car and Max probably still beats them. I think we all think that.
The difference is, actually, come to think of it, there is no difference, because Max Verstappen and Red Bull were saying the same things when Lewis was dominant.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily about, you know, teammates, but they were going, oh, there's no one competing against him. There's no one actually challenging.
But that is less true than this season. Red Bull have won every single race. Max has won the last 10.
I don't think we've ever seen a dominant season like this.
No, other than, what, when was it? Like Senna in the McLaren.
But in this era,
or Senna Prost.
And I think in this era, especially when they've tried to change everything to bring closer racing, you would expect less dominance. But if anything, we've got more dominance since these rules have changed.
You know, I stand by it. It's the cost cap. Get rid of the fucking cost cap. Mm. We've got something to talk about on the cost cap as well. I've got an interesting point.
Okay.
Get rid of the fucking cost cap. Let Mercedes throw the fucking kitchen sink at it.
Yeah.
Let Ferrari throw the kitchen sink at it. Let McLaren throw the kitchen sink. Let Aston Martin. Let Red Bull continue developing.
But Williams.
Williams. Oh, they're coming through.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, it just makes it boring. Like, I can't. I do feel like I don't know, it changes race to race. Is the gap getting closer? I mean, Sainz kept Max behind for quite a while. In the grand scheme of how things have gone in the season.
In the grand scheme of things.
Like DRS opens, Max is gone. I'm not sure if you watched did you watch the side-by-side quali laps? So I watched it's like a graphic on Twitter. Can't remember who the person is that tweets it.
It was off 3 of them, wasn't it?
Yeah,
this one. Yeah. It's good.
Do you see how quick the Red Bull is through the corners?
Mm.
That's where it gains all its time. Yeah. And that is like, any car can go fast. Do you know what I mean? They can put different wings on, reduce the drag. But the fact that Red Bull can still go fast and still have that downforce, that's what separates it. And so, yeah, you know, Max hasn't had the same teammates in terms of quality that Lewis has had.
No.
Because Lewis has never dominated a season like this. You know, Lewis ran up against, in the Mercedes, up against Nico Rosberg, who won a championship.
Yeah.
Like, Nico beat him to the championship. None of Max's teammates would have done that. And again, I'm going to stand by the fact that I also think 99% of people wouldn't be able to do that against Max.
No.
But there would be people that give him better runnings, where I think you'd see him have more of a challenge, like Lewis did, winning the titles.
Yeah.
Not in the Bottas era. That was easy. But again, he did have Seb, and he did then have Max.
I think the only person, when you're looking in the future, who could challenge, I still think Lewis could, if he's in a competitive car. But I also think Lando. I think Lando is someone who, if he's in a competitive car, or someone like Piastri, in a few years' time, could be.
But then why not George? Why not Charles?
I think Charles, he self-sabotages himself. I think when the pressure gets too much for him, he fumbles. I generally believe that.
But is that because we're basing that on 2022, and there was also a combination of like, oh, he was probably thinking like, are the team just going to fuck it up for me? Like, if he had a solid team behind him as well.
Yeah, but you look at performances this year, you know, you'd
expect. Yeah, no, it's been lackluster this year for him.
But it has. And if you're looking at and don't get me wrong, you can say the same about Lewis and that, but Ferrari have had points throughout this year where their car's been good and that hasn't materialised.
Yeah, and I assume by that you don't mean he should have won any races, but,
no, but
he should have more points.
He should have more points, yeah.
But there has also been periods in the season when that car's been really bad.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I just think, for me, Charles Leclerc is someone who can't handle. I just feel he can't handle the pressure when it gets too much, when he's in a battle.
Yeah, perhaps.
I think if you're looking at that 21 season and it was Lewis versus Charles Leclerc in that 21 season,
oh yeah, no.
he wouldn't have been able to deal with it.
But yeah, yeah. And I also do think on a skill level.
Yeah. And that's no disrespect to Charles. He's a phenomenal driver. But
yeah, he's one of the best.
I just don't think he is a champ. He's missed his opportunity to win a championship. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we said that, I think, last season, yeah. Didn't we? When...
And like I said to you the other day, I think Carlos Sainz, at this point in time this year, is better.
I think he's just driving more consistently, isn't he?
And he's driving with confidence.
Yeah.
And you look at that this weekend, that was a driver who could quite easily have lost P3. He could have, you know, and I suppose some people say, well, he did lock up, which meant Max, but actually he did a phenomenal job to keep Max for so long, considering he was always in that second bracket.
He drove really well against Max. It was so good to watch.
And I don't know, for me, Carlos Sainz is now starting to gradually build with confidence and show what he can do. And I think my gut feeling, at this moment in time, he's a better driver than Charles Leclerc. And not because of points, not because of results, but I think consistency and what he's getting out of that car. And that might be a bold statement, but that's... looking at it, that's what I...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't agree with that, but I can understand why someone would think that. Because he looks like better this year, but is that just because Charles looks worse? I don't know. Like I say, I think they're a really good driver pairing.
Yeah.
I think they're both young.
But you say that, Carlos Sainz's first season in Ferrari, he beat Leclerc.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, it was only last year, it was only one season he's been better. And, you know, you're looking at, and I think, looking at the standings, I think obviously Carlos Sainz is P5 with 117 points and Leclerc is 111. Nothing between them. I don't know.
Leclerc's behind him, isn't he?
Leclerc's behind him.
Yeah.
So,
and is George in between them?
No, George is seventh.
Oh, he's fallen behind Charles now.
So obviously, I just feel Vasseur has got a good driver partnership in Leclerc and Sainz because he's got two drivers who he doesn't need to favour, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So I don't know. Let us know. I know we've kind of got off topic, but I really like Sainz. I think he's just cool to... he always looks like zoned out when somebody's talking to him in those images. But I think this weekend he really showed, you know, what a great driver he is, because he had a lot of pressure from Perez. He had a lot of pressure from Max Verstappen, and he had a lot of pressure from Charles Leclerc.
Yeah.
Charles Leclerc looked erratic, and I know we'll get into that point, but he looked just erratic towards the end. I was waiting for them to come together.
He just wanted to win.
Yeah. I was literally waiting.
Like, as to beat Carlos.
Yeah. I was literally expecting them just to come together.
That would have been great.
It gave me like Rosberg Hamilton vibes when I was expecting them just to like take each other out.
But that's fine. I mean, like, if that was something like that would spice up the season, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll take that. Now, I want to come back to the point on the cost cap.
Yes.
Funny this, right? I don't know if you saw, as of today, all 10 teams got cleared of like the cost cap for 2022. They were all under cost cap.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. Well, I suppose that's a good thing.
Funny that Red Bull learned how to do the books properly despite the fact that they didn't find out that they had not done it properly until 2023.
Yeah.
So they've done all the books for the 2022 season, which obviously runs into 2023. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
They found out how to do all the books correctly during that season.
Yeah.
Despite the fact they didn't find out they had done it wrong until 2023.
Mm.
Where's that come from then?
It was only sandwiches.
No, see, that this is... there's corruption in here.
Mate, and, we know that Red Bull have an easy ride.
Yeah, there's levels to this corruption. There's absolutely no way, because you've got to remember here, their defense was, oh, well, we didn't know. We did it wrong. Sorry. How have you done it right for 2022 then?
Yeah.
How? Because if you didn't know, how have you fixed it? Because when you submitted it for 2021, if you'd started doing it correctly in 2022, you would have said, they would have come clean and be like, look, we did this wrong.
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been all this, nope, we haven't done anything wrong.
What's also interesting, there was obviously reports that there was four teams that they thought they had breached cost cap. So yeah, I was expecting at least one or two. So the fact that all of them have been cleared, weird.
Yeah, no, all good.
Obviously, you know, last season that was a massive talking point. So it's almost a year ago, isn't it? We're talking about this.
What the scandal?
Yeah, it must have been after the summer. So yeah, we're coming to that point, aren't we? Yeah. So, I don't know. I think Red Bull got off lightly, but anyway, it's good. It's good that they've actually learned. That's always a good thing, isn't it? Shall we get on to talking about the race?
Yeah.
Let's quickly flick past practice, because obviously it was pretty much Verstappen who led the way in FP1.
The Ferraris did look quick.
Sainz was quick in FP2.
I think you kind of knew it was going to be Red Bull Ferrari.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Their setup was perfect for Monza.
Yeah.
And obviously Sainz was quickest in FP3 as well, with Verstappen literally 8,000 behind. Yeah. So it was close between them. Going into qualifying, obviously we had the format of hards, mediums and softs.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Agreed.
I think it's a really good way of giving other teams opportunities who are stronger on certain compounds to progress.
And it didn't affect practice as much, I didn't find, this time round.
No. I felt like there's still runners, a good amount of runners out this time.
Yeah, it did feel more like, it felt like they had kind of understood it a bit more. Yeah. And they were able to work around it. Because it really did fuck practice last time. And I love practice, like when it's a race week and it's like Friday and it's kind of like pre-weekend vibes.
You put it on in the background, you listen, you what? Yeah, yeah, no, I know what you mean.
And then you can wake up Saturday morning, you're like, oh, okay, I'll watch a bit of Sky Sports News. And it's like, ah. Oh. At like 11:30, I've got practice.
Practice, yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Main shocks in Q1 was probably, especially after the great result Gasly had in previous race. Obviously, both Alpines both going
Alpines
out.
Were out, yeah.
Ocon had a shocker, and so did Gasly. They were P17 and 18. Magnussen P19, but obviously Stroll. I mean, how is this guy is robbing a living here?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to go.
He's probably thinking of the ATP tour, but is it ATP? Mm. The tennis, or is that golf?
I'm not too sure. Why don't you just say Wimbledon or something?
Okay, Wimbledon's already gone. He's too busy thinking of the Australian Open in January. He's robbing a living.
Yeah, no, that's inexcusable to finish. I mean,
and don't get me wrong, I know people go, oh, he's a talented driver. You drive those cars, you're talented. But he's not talented enough to be up there with Pete likes Alonso. And don't get me wrong,
Alonso's P3 in the championship.
Yeah.
Like, do you know, where's Stroll?
In the championship? Let me have a look. That's not the one I want.
Because let's not forget that Aston Martin are now down to fourth in the constructors.
So Stroll is actually P9.
Yeah, what, is he behind Lando?
He's behind Lando. Well, there's a massive gap. So Lando's got 79 points. Stroll is on 47.
Then where's Piastri?
Piastri is P12 with 36 points. This is quite interesting. P10 is Gasly with 37 points. Ocon, 11th with 36 points. Piastri, 36 points. And then you've got Albon with 21. But the mad thing is, with how good this car has been throughout the year, the fact he is only on 47 points is an embarrassment.
Now, here's the thing. We say that, right? The car has fallen off since just before Canada. I can't remember what the race was before Canada.
Yeah.
The Baku? I can't remember. I'm not going to guess. But they started the season so strong. Whatever they've done, it's gone wrong. And the car's got worse.
So it's Spain before Canada.
So, I'm not really sure if they're the team that we thought they were. They're certainly not all the while they've got Lance Stroll in a seat. That's no disrespect. That is just me.
It's facts.
Yeah, it's me using my eyes.
I
could have told you that before the season started, to be fair, but imagine if they just had Seb and it was Fernando.
It was quite interesting, though, looking at some of his interviews, because there was loads of tweets going around. Then they were going, this guy looks like he's just not interested in the slightest.
Mm.
Like, you know, you listen to his interviews and they're like, yeah, just didn't really have a quick car. Yeah, one of those things, really. I know, that's probably just him, but he looks so uninterested.
He was getting ready for the tennis. Just thinking about Tim Henman.
He just wanted to watch the US Open. He was like, come on, can we get this over with? I want to...
He probably knows he's not good enough.
Did you say he's thinking of playing with Tim Henman?
He was thinking of Tim Henman compilations. I think, it's one of those awkward ones. He's going to have to get sacked by his dad, isn't he? There's no alternative.
If you're a company who wants to be taken seriously and you want to be that, you know, a team where you've got Fernando Alonso who is being competitive for you, you have to make that decision to make a change.
I think the issue is going to stem from the team, because I think they're going to be like, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah,
we've established, like, we've got a really good factory. We're investing loads of money into this. You've poached loads of good engineers from teams such as Red Bull.
Yeah.
You've built a really good car. We've got Fernando Alonso in the car. He's doing really well. And we're ruining the whole thing by having the other half of that just dropping points week in, week out.
So are you thinking Mike Crack is going to walk into that office and go to Lawrence Stroll?
Why are you
going to
be in there?
Very good. But you're expecting him to go in there and go to Lawrence Stroll, look, you're going to make a change.
Well, I think, you know what, you can't be a pussy forever in this world.
But also, he's a businessman, so he should know he needs to make those tough decisions.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's not like Lance is going to... It's not going to be the end of the world. Mate, you're still a billionaire.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when daddy dies, you're going to get that bank balance. Oh, God, like, it's really not the end of the world. Like, you can go and cry in Beverly Hills or something.
Yeah, no, I think he'd be all right.
Like, and he's had his chance.
Hmm.
His dad's bought his dream. Do you know what I mean? He's done it since, what, 2017?
Yeah.
So, something like that, 16, 17.
Nothing.
He's had a podium.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he's...
Do you know when that was?
He was at Williams.
I can't remember when. I just wondered if you knew. Wasn't it Baku?
I don't know.
Anyway, we move on.
But, yeah, so...
Q2, mediums.
Yep.
Sargeant obviously went out along with Bottas, Hulkenberg. Massive shout out to Lawson this weekend.
Yep, he's out. Do you reckon? Is Danny Rick thinking, fuck it now?
I was really impressed with Lawson. That's two races now he's finished.
What?
Which, but you say that, but in theory, for a rookie who's never driven in F1, that is impressive.
Yeah, that's not true.
Sargeant never did that.
He drove the Red Bull last year in practice.
Okay. Competitively, he hasn't driven in F1.
Yeah, I mean, the race last week was very impressive.
Yeah.
Because that was chaotic. This week, yeah, he had a strong race. But at the same time, like, they should be able to drive the cars. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I agree.
It's not like they're like, oh, shit, we're completely out. They're like, right, you, Mr. Janitor, get in the car now. He's like, what, I only know how to mop floors? Like, they should know how to drive
the cars.
How
cool would that be, though, wouldn't it?
That would be cool, yeah, until he dies.
Jeff, get in the car. But what?
He would die. Or she.
Or she.
But I think... I do think sometimes we give rookies too much credit. And I think we saw that with Nick DeVries. Where, like, everyone's like, oh, my God, like, yeah, he's got points in Monza.
All right.
Okay, how did that pan out?
All right.
They should be able to drive the cars. They've spent their fucking lives working towards it.
Okay, you say that. Nick de Vries raced last year, didn't he, in Monza.
Yeah.
Got points.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. You're like, oh, this is great. Gets into an F1 team. He's been shocking.
He could still drive the car, though. You're just praising him for finishing the race.
Well, he really
hasn't got any points.
No, okay. Sargeant hasn't. He didn't finish the first few races.
I don't think Sargeant's good enough.
Anyway,
I'm not saying Lawson isn't. I'm just saying, I think as a lot of the times we like over credit drivers for simply being able to drive, and it's like you'd fucking hope so. You've got them in as a reserve driver. Imagine. Football, you call on your subs bench, you're like, come on, mate, I need you up top. And he's like, what the fuck? I thought it was golf we were playing today. Like, it's not a surprise that they can drive.
All right, I'll take that back.
I don't disagree that he has done well, but...
Lawson, I'm going to give you no credit. Well done for, you know, you should be finishing.
He should be getting in the car and performing.
Yeah.
But he has performed well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's rephrase that. He did well... Because he qualified P12.
Yeah.
Considering that's his second qualifier.
And I do think Danny Rick is going to be watching this thing, like, and punching the wall.
You've got to be annoyed, isn't it? He can't punch the wall because he's broken a wrist.
Yeah, that's true. But he, obviously he's going to have his seat till the end of the season when he comes back. That would be ruthless if they cut him out. But he's probably thinking... I'm going to lose my job because he's now had this young guy come in. If you're AlphaTauri, right, are you thinking Danny Rick costs quite a bit, performs, we don't know, but let's assume similarly to Lawson.
Yeah.
But Lawson's going to get better.
I think if Lawson drives in Singapore and he has a solid race, i.e. finishing, he'll get snapped up next year.
By AlphaTauri. Now, is Yuki Tsunoda maybe... Is he in the fire?
No, I think Yuki...
Has he already got a contract?
I think he's got a contract to next year. But for me, Yuki has done enough to warrant his seat, especially with how bad that car's been. Obviously, this weekend, he couldn't do anything about it. He didn't even start the race.
But are AlphaTauri going to look at it and be like, right, Yuki's not quite lived up to expectation, maybe... I think he's had a bad car, and I actually don't think Yuki's been bad at all. I just don't think he's been like, wow, like, yeah, like, he's really good. You know, like, Alex Albon is doing in the Williams. Yeah.
But Yuki's always been in Gasly's shadow.
Yeah, that is true. But I do think, like I say, I think Yuki's been pretty consistent, pretty good. He was a bit rash in his first season. He got less rash in his second season. I think he's got even better this season.
I think Albon and Tsunoda would be a good pairing at Williams.
Albon and Tsunoda? Perhaps. I don't know with Yuki Tsunoda. I do think he deserves a seat next season. But if Lawson has been really good, right?
He has, yeah.
He's been as good as Tsunoda.
Okay, yeah.
In these races. Now, that's a pretty decent benchmark because Tsunoda's been in the game for 3 years now. If Danny Rick obviously gets his seat back for the rest of this season, which he will, and he outperforms Tsunoda, are they now thinking, oh, actually, why don't we have Danny Rick and Lawson? Because then we've got experience. We've got a revenue driver because people will buy Danny Rick AlphaTauri merch because he's got a big fan base. We've then got the young guy that is doing really well. He's only going to get better.
Yeah.
Might it help the team out?
I don't think, and I'm going to put this out here now, I don't think Danny Rick will beat Tsunoda. Obviously, he'll have races where he will, but I think Tsunoda will have a stronger interseason than Danny Rick.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I agree.
I just don't... Okay.
I also think with this injury as well, like, it's going to hamper
him. Joel.
Yeah.
Tsunoda. If you're saying, obviously, you don't think Tsunoda has lived up to expectation...
That's not really... That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't think he's improved. it's not that he's not lived up to expectation. It's that you look at what like an Alex Albon is doing in the car. You look at Piastri coming in, and I know he's got a better car, but you see how he's really like, he's keeping up with Lando, and I know now Tsunoda's the benchmark, but I feel like he's not excelling as he should be.
But I genuinely think that is the team he's around. Because, okay, you look at...
I think the team is shocking.
Like, you look at, for example, Alex Albon, you say. He's got James Vowles around him. Okay, he's got a really... They're improving. He's got a vision. They believe in him. He will thrive there. He's also had experience in a Red Bull team that works like clockwork. Tsunoda, all he's known is AlphaTauri, where you've got a team principal who comes out and slates you week in, week out. They've had so many different drivers. The car is useless. You know, well, I say it's useless. It's still a good car. But
what, AlphaTauri?
I'm saying it's still a car that works. It's not. It's
well,
not
it the turns
worst car.
On. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It's probably the worst car on the grid.
Not Alfa Romeo.
It chops and changes.
Yeah.
The Haas is a really bad race car.
Yeah, that is bad car. But what I mean is he's got a team that actually so many things come out in the press, so many changes, so many different drivers coming in and out. You know, he's, as I said, he's in Gasly's shadow for two seasons when he started. And now he's got this first season where he can really become a main driver. And actually, he's got a pathetic car. And actually...
He's not been dealt the greatest hand. I agree. And I'm not saying get rid of him at all. I'm just saying I think if Lawson does race in Singapore and performs really well, and Danny Ric comes back and performs better than Tsunoda, it's going to give them something to think about for next season. Because in my opinion, Tsunoda, absolutely, they could sign him up for next year and I wouldn't question the decision at all. But he's also not someone that has, you'd look at and be like, well, he's 100%, he cemented his place. He deserves it.
Yeah.
So I just think it'd be interesting. I've just looked up. No drivers are confirmed for AlphaTauri next season.
It's going to be interesting.
So there are 2 free seats there.
Yeah. I'd like to see Lawson. I'd prefer Tsunoda and Lawson. That's my personal preference.
Yeah.
You know my views on Danny Ric. I mean,
His time is his up.
He's wasted his opportunities and he hasn't lived up to his expectations.
He should have never left Red Bull. That's where he went wrong.
Yeah, and actually he went to Renault. They started to put so much, they invested so much time into him, and actually what he should have done was just stay with Renault. If he was that cemented to actually leave in a team like Red Bull, he should have stayed with someone like
Renault. Yeah, commit to a project. Yeah. You know, like Lewis. You know, he left McLaren.
It works, it doesn't. But he went to McLaren, Ricciardo went to McLaren and he fumbled.
Yeah, it went wrong.
It went very wrong. Let's just finish on qualifying. Obviously, Sainz finished P1. Very good lap. So close between him and Verstappen.
Really close.
It was like 2,000th of a second. Leclerc P3, Russell P4. Perez again, not really showing the proper Red Bull potential. He came in P5. Albon, solid qualifying, P6.
Yeah, we know that Williams is quick in a straight line, but well, we say that. It was a great race car last week.
Yeah.
Before Monza.
Yeah. Piastri outqualified Norris. And Hamilton was P8.
That wound me up. But we're not going to go into that.
Yeah. Let's talk about the race. So, obviously, the race was a decent race. And I was going into it, and we put in a group chat, didn't we? We're just expecting Verstappen to get in a lead and just drive off.
And that didn't happen.
It didn't happen straight away. It did take to about lap 13, 14, something like that.
It might have even been 15.
15. The race took ages to start because Tsunoda broke down on the way on the formation lap. Yep. I felt sorry for Tsunoda. I was a bit like, you know, this was...
A DNS.
Yeah.
Not even a DNF.
It was a D, did not start.
Yeah.
Which ultimately, again, the FIA took a while to make the decision on what they're doing, because they did a formation lap, he broke down.
They did another
one, came back round, and then they sat on the grid for a good 5 minutes before they were like, you know,
see all the mechanics like lined up, like waiting to go.
The mechanics were a bit like, you know, what are we doing? We go into the cars, we not, you know, the tires were just overheating. They were like, what is actually going on? Again, it just took ages to make a decision, which was annoying. The race did get started. Great start from Carlos Sainz. We had a nice little battle between Piastri and Albon. Piastri got past Albon. It was very close racing, wasn't it? Which was really nice. But what was evident throughout this race is the DRS trains.
Oh, yeah.
Are so effective. Like, they just... That's the only thing I don't like with these new cars is it's okay, it brings closer racing, but no one overtakes.
I don't think they were as bad as we've seen. Do you remember Imola 22?
That was the worst
I've ever seen. But, you know, it did... Yeah, okay, there was... So obviously you had, like, at first you had the Lewis... Well, it was Albon, Piastri, Norris, Lewis. That was a big train.
That was just a big train. I suppose you did, in some sense, have Leclerc Verstappen, because Leclerc was getting close, and then he was going
Leclerc
off again.
Verstappen Sainz, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, Sainz, obviously, it showed how good that car was in a straight line, because I love that graphic of them showing, you know, Verstappen was using so much ERS compared to...
That's a new graphic, I like that.
I don't know why they just don't show it full cars.
Yeah, I know.
Because that would be so much, you know, going down a straight and it'd be brilliant.
Because then you can sort of gauge, like, where's their speed coming from?
And that's what I found interesting, because what I was expecting was Carlos Sainz was basically just dumping his ERS.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be dumping.
When Verstappen had DRS. But what was evident was Verstappen was using DRS, but he was using more ERS.
So do you know why the Red Bull DRS was less effective this week?
Something to do with their rear wing?
Yeah, they had a cutaway on their rear wing,
which
made it less effective. But obviously, I think it helped them...
In the corners, isn't it?
In the corners, and also just naturally without DRS. So, yeah, but I say it backfired. It didn't really backfire. No. But it did get close, and Sainz raced him hard, and Max didn't like it.
No.
And I liked that.
Also very interesting that Max Verstappen knows how to take that turn one.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's not Lewis Hamilton. He knows when to back out.
Yeah. But we did see a bit of like coming together, didn't we, between them? Was it the touching wheels?
Yeah.
I remember seeing.
Look, I don't think anything that happened in that entire battle, including Sainz Leclerc, was unfair. I think it was all extremely hard racing, and I would pay to see that every week.
Max Verstappen, that's naughty.
Yeah.
It wasn't naughty.
He doesn't know what's naughty.
No. Believe me, he's done much worse. Yeah. So, no, I thought it was a great battle, and I think Carlos Sainz, obviously, you could tell the rears. I really love that when you hear over the radio when they're like, the rears are going, and he's sliding all over the place. I love how I really enjoy the driver's perception of what they see. You know, I really like, for example, Fernando Alonso, when he can see what the car's doing in front of him.
Do you know what I actually liked?
Yeah.
I liked when... It was lap 3, I think, something like that. And like, they came over the radio, Red Bull, to Max. And Max was like, yeah, don't worry, his rears are going, he's sliding all over the place, I'll get him, or something like that.
Yeah.
And they still couldn't.
No.
Like, I loved it. Because it was like the first time this season where it's been like, Verstappen actually can't get him.
Yeah.
And he, like, Max had to actually throw the kitchen sink it. And props to Max, like, Max drove really well, kept it clean.
It was a professional drive.
Yeah.
You know, old Max, but if that was Lewis in front of him, very different.
Yeah.
But he was very composed. He took his time. He knew that he would get him. And it was a very good drive from Max.
Yeah.
So props to Sainz. I thought he held himself really well. But then we were going into like this whole DRS train of Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, Sergio Perez. And we had that for a long time.
Yeah, but...
Perez was even getting frustrated with George. Because we had that earlier on as well.
It took a while for Perez to get past George. So, I don't know. You know, maybe the DRS made it a little bit more exciting. It gave us entertainment every time into turn one.
The undercut was reasonably effective. Well, I wouldn't say it was like...
Yeah, I don't think it was potent.
No. It was effective, but not from what we've seen in the past.
Yeah. You had a few close coming togethers. Yeah. The McLaren boys got very close out of the pit.
What did you think of that? I feel
like they prioritised Lando.
Well, we know that, don't we? Yeah. We know Lando's the golden boy there. So, and they have to, because they know that actually Lando is only... He's only one phone call away or one bad decision for McLaren to go, okay, I'm going to go to another team.
Yeah.
So we know that. That's why they're really prioritising him. But I felt the McLarens struggled this weekend. They weren't really in it. Yeah. They struggled all week.
They couldn't get past Albon.
No.
And I mean, that was amazing at the end. I'm sure we'll get to it. But yeah, they couldn't even get past the Williams. Yeah. And I know that Williams is quick in a straight line, but... I think what we're seeing with the McLaren is they've really got the downforce nailed on.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, hugely important. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of like the W13. Do you remember? It was like...
You had some races where it worked.
Yeah. And it was typically when it didn't involve high speed because we were porpoising.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, and you know, it was never like Red Bull level. But it was kind of like, yeah, actually, when it's a bit slower and you've got more corners, the car's actually good.
Yeah.
But yeah, as soon as you've got to hit high speeds, nah, it stinks. And I think that is what we see with this McLaren. But yeah, it's just a lot of cars have been so inconsistent.
Like
the Red Bull, we could say that about every single car this season.
Yeah. No, I agree. Obviously, Piastri, Hamilton. My initial reaction was I thought Piastri was just too aggressive. That was my initial thought of it.
I was so angry.
But then all of a sudden, when you see the onboard, Lewis just miscalculated that. Yeah, and actually, it was completely his fault.
He misjudged it.
He did apologise, fair play.
There's not a lot more you can do. Like, it wasn't... The thing is the reason I don't think it's a massive deal is because, like, it wasn't an aggressive move. He didn't go for a move that wasn't there or anything. He literally just misjudged something, and it ruins Oscar's race. And it's, you know, but, like, things happen. What, like, what can you actually do?
No.
Like, it's not like Lewis just refused to back out or...
He got a 5 second for it, which I think was probably fair.
Yeah, he deserved it.
But... Obviously, at that point, we're thinking, okay, so he's going to go behind.
While this was going on, Ocon randomly retired.
Yeah.
No one spoke about that.
No.
He just retired and it was just never mentioned.
He was like, I've had enough. He was like, there's only two drivers who got lapped. Do you know who?
K-Mag.
Yep.
Probably someone like Sargent.
Hulk.
Both the Hasses.
Yep. Both got lapped.
Good weekend for them.
But yeah, I think for Piastri, you saw a bit of, for me, a bit of immaturity in some of his decision makings this weekend, especially one coming together with Lando. I don't think that was necessary.
And just with the Lewis thing, I was expecting Piastri to like just break earlier.
Yeah.
And I think Lewis probably was as well.
But you even saw... And do you know what? No, I'm going to take back what I said, because I don't think that's immaturity. I think you just saw a bit more aggression from him this weekend, which is a good thing. I think it's always good to see you fighting for positions rather than just backing out. And we've said that in the past. You know, you look at Max going past, people just move out of the way for him. It drives me mad. You just see people like, oh, yeah, go past, mate.
Yeah. No, I don't think... I hate it. Like, I don't care, like... If it's Lewis trying to get past you, who I obviously support, don't just let him pass. Like,
yeah, dude.
That is just the worst thing you can do. Just race. I don't care what car... you're a Haas that's got three wheels.
Yeah.
I don't care. Race him. And that... Do you know what? That's why the Ferrari stuff and the Max and Sainz stuff was so refreshing to see, because that is genuinely one of the... like first times we've seen that this season.
Yeah.
Actual racing, like not the Ferrari boys being like, oh no, let's just bring this home. I know Sainz was putting pressure on the radio. I understand that. He was in front. He was like, fucking hell, I need to keep this place. But Ferrari were like, free to race. That's what F1 should be about.
I enjoyed it, yeah. I did think to myself, I was like, I would have been gutted for Sainz if he had lost P3, because I felt over a weekend with his practice, with his qualifying, he deserved to be on the podium. But I think the battle, once Perez had got past and gone, I was kind of like, okay, now I thought they would come over and go, do you know what? This whole position, let's home a good amount of points.
Yeah.
But the battle was great. And even up until the last lap, they were still battling.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they showed real... It was great entertainment. It was actually really nice to see a proper race.
Bring it every week, do you know what I mean?
No, I agree.
Like, even if, you know, Max had run away with it at that point, but it actually still was a good race because we had that going on.
Yeah.
And Max did get held up for a certain amount of time. That also made it a good race.
Yeah. It wasn't just walking the park, was it?
But, you know, what we need is Max to have some sort of issue.
He can't surely win 11, can he?
No, that'd be...
Well, he can. He's going to win.
But at Singapore, it's going to be a lot more tricky to get through the pack, even in that Red Bull, I think. So if, for whatever reason, we can pray he has a shocking qualifying, I think we'll be in for a good race.
Rounding up, what would you rate it out of 10, that race?
No, I'll give it an 8.
Yeah,
it was lacking a safety car.
Yeah,
and it was lacking, like, you know, if we had a safety car and Max didn't win, it's a strong 9.
It's a strong 10, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a 10 just for Max not winning.
But no, on a whole, I thought it was a good race weekend. Obviously, next in 2 weeks' time, we've got Singapore, which.
Well, it's like, yeah, the weekend after next.
Week after. So we'll be back next week for that. Anything to round up on?
No, so we'll touch on Singapore next week.
Touch on Singapore. So yeah, guys, hopefully you've enjoyed that. Get in touch. Let us know what your thoughts are. Let us know, you know, what you thought of the race. Anything we missed, we might need to bring up next week. But Max, phenomenal job. 10 race wins.
Record breaker.
And actually fully deserved. He's in a league of his own. He's really shown what his quality is.
Yeah, because we can talk about the Red Bull all we like, and he's got a dominant car, but
he has to do it.
Checo's got every opportunity here, and you know Max is just outclassing him in every way.
No, he's done phenomenal. So fair play to him. But have a good week. I shall see you next week for a brand new episode. And let's hope. Sure, it can't be 11. We can't have that, can we?
No.
Right, take care, everyone. I shall see you later. Bye-bye.